The international border between Texas and Mexico is known as a hot zone. The area between the Gulf of Mexico and Del Rio, Texas, or the Amistad Lake, they call it, is a haven for, or hotbed for, illegal activity, human trafficking, drug trafficking, an array of other things. It's also known as one of the most noted for as a biological hot zone. Biologically, the region is home to one of the largest disease hot zones in the world, the fever tick quarantine zone, they call it. It's a 700 miles long, and this tick is this area is a buffer zone, serves as a buffer zone for a tick that gets on cattle and on horses. It's the fever tick, obviously, and it's called the Bufalus annuletus is the surname for it. And it, what it does, it attaches to the cattle and it spreads throughout the herd in days. Before you know it, you have thousands of cattle that are, and there's no cure for it. They'll die. And it's the disease that it spreads is, it's the surname for it, is bovine pyroplasmosis. It's the fever tick disease, they call it. And patrolling this area are 61 cowboys hired by the USDA Department of Agriculture. And they take turns riding up and down the river. And they rope any strays that come from Mexico to the United States. In 1906, the tick riders were established. And the reason being because it was the fever tick was so bad that it affected 16 states of the United States. It caused $100 million of damages in the livestock industry. And it didn't stop until 1943, when the cowboys pushed and segregated and roped, and all these cows that were affected pushed it back to the Mexican border, where it sits at now. Now, there's qualifications to be a tick rider. First of all, you have to have knowledge of livestock handling. And number two is you have to have expertise in riding, horseback, roping, and tracking livestock in rough and remote terrain. Now, we have some horseback riders here, I know. It's one thing to know horseback, but to be an expertise is something else. To be able to rope underhanded or through brush, it's a trade all its own. Also, you have to have be able to get a pest control license and within 12 months while you're working there. That's in order when you rope the cows, you have to dip them right away and put them in our corral for 30 days, quarantine. And then also you have to have the ability to carry a firearm, because all the time they're by themselves. They're up and down the river by themselves. Now, I've read to you the qualifications of a tick rider, because a lot of applicants try to get in, but very, very few are qualified. But what does it take for us? Because as you know, we were a lot of applicants at one time. Now we're down to a few. What does it take to be sons and daughters of God? What are the qualifications? And I heard in my chickens that I'm cleaned out the chicken coop, and it has the radio station turns on and off intermittently, and that's for the coyotes. Long story, don't want to hear it. But and it's a religious programming. And the minister said, you don't need to be qualified. You just accept Jesus. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says here, come out from among them and be separate. He's talking to us, say the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Now, you may have not remembered, I did a sermonet on this. Now, and I will receive you. See, there's a qualification there. It's just not a, well, God called me, so I'm in. No. And I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So imagine God giving that love to us. But we have to qualify. You know why? Because we have freedom of choice. Freedom of choice. It's, and John noticed that and says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That's 1 John 3:1. Let that sink in for a while. We are children of God. That's a pretty high calling, brethren. And sometimes we take it lightly. But there's qualifications for it. So I whittle it down to three. This is a macro version, okay? But the first qualification you must have is love. We must demonstrate our love for Him. So by demonstrating your love for Him, that's the first commandment, right? Love that guy with all your heart and all your soul. And second, you have that same love has to be with your neighbor. Not your church member so much, but your neighbor. That's with everybody. That's including long-suffering. If your neighbor's, your next-door neighbor is completely all the time running over your lawn, front lawn, to get to his driveway. That, I had a neighbor like that. He'd take his wide turns, run over my lawn. That's long-suffering. Run the distance, Paul said. And weightier matters of the law, like Jesus said in Matthew. You know, the good doctor said, love the Lord with all your heart. That's in Luke 10:27. He repeated what it was in the Ten Commandments. Number two is that four-letter word, obey. We must demonstrate our obedience to Him. We've got to show God, you know, I'm here, you know, we're all at one in the Sabbath. We're respecting the Sabbath day, our feast days. We're also His laws and food and His ceremonial laws. Three, faithfulness. We must demonstrate faithfulness towards Him. Now, I'm going to put down a little cog here, especially in the good times. You know, we always remember God when things are bad. You know, when we're sick or we lost our job. But how about the time they give us a raise? We're given a raise, you know, or something good happens to us. That's when we really thank God. We should thank God. Let's go to Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1. When you're turning there, I chose the CEV version, or the Contemporary English Version, as you make it's called, to make my point. Jeremiah 1. Verse 5. Man, I'm the Bible boy. I used to race with my daughters. I always come in last. Now, it says in the words of Jeremiah, okay? But take that word Jeremiah and put your name in it. It says, that God is talking to us. He says, I am your creator. Okay, this is the CEV version. I am your creator. And before you were born, I chose you to speak for me to the nations. Put your name in there. So He's assigning us to be, quote unquote, ambassadors. So we are to, for as our examples, or if some of us are teachers, some of us are just demonstrate how we act in public. And sometimes we're given a position in public as a teacher or a professional. And how we behave is a reflection on us and how we are. And the reason why God chose us is because God is a great giver. Those three examples are the reason. He's a great giver. You know, the love, the obedience, and the faithfulness. Those are our giving traits. That's something we have to give to somebody. That's the whole nature is based on concept of giving rather than getting. And you and I are givers. Helpful, compassionate, and loving. Some of us, it's a little bit harder to find, and that's what we're here for. We have to work on that. But that's why God chose us, for the well-being. Because, like it said in 2 Timothy, this world is unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and the list goes on. If you want to see more, 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. So, the qualifications all interconnect. Remember, this thing, these things are all, we have a choice. And don't get too comfortable when things go our way. When things are going my way, I'm always looking, I said, okay, things are going too good here. That's when you have to, you know, ask God for guidance and wisdom. And that's where meditation comes in. That's where God asks us for, you know, for meditating all the time. You know, at first when the church started saying meditation, you know, I was figuring, man, meditation, is that the ones you cross your legs and go like this? Like, I can't do that. I'm going to fall asleep. No, but God is saying, I looked it up, and it's meditation is always thinking. Always have God in your mind. What would God do if he was given this situation? So by that, by meditating, you always have a relationship then. He's there for us. If you never have a relationship, it's like it said, and God says, I never heard of you. I went to Marcus, my grandson's basketball game. He has eighth grade basketball game. And I noticed the team that they were playing against would pass each other, just fling the ball ahead, and the other boy would go right underneath and make the basket and throw underneath, bounce passes, and kind of what the way we used to do it, kind of like us. But and without even looking at each other like that. And I talked to Marcus after the game, and he said, "Yeah, Umpa, they play tournament ball together, so they do stuff like if it was nothing, and they already have the plays memorized. And that's what we need to be with God. We've got to be, you know." Always have that kind of connection with him. Not trying to figure out the play or is he going to be there. We've got to be there. Or so-and-so, he's going to be there. I have full faith he's going to do that. Just like God and the demon Satan had that discussion. Oh yeah, Job, my servant. Same thing. There's no different. Put your name in there instead of Job. There was a movie, The Man from Snowy River, back in the 70s, was it? It was an excellent movie, I thought. It was a cowboy movie. So, but there's the actor, his name was Jim Craig. He used his own horse. His horse, unless you see the movie, you know what I'm talking about, because he goes through some stuff and some high ridges and everything, and the horse was, like him, were just together. I was very impressed. Yeah. But as well as the Comanches. The Comanches, there was a Union soldier was on his diary, wrote down, said that the Comanche and the horse were as one when they had to be fighting them. They dreaded fighting the Comanches out in the open plain because they couldn't beat them. So, at that time, the soldiers had rifles. So that righteous character starts coming on us if we have that relationship. Now, those 61 cowboys cover 700 miles of river. That's a lot. And that's a very thin line. And they do their job because a lot of people haven't even heard of a tick rider. But it's been going on since 1943. And some of us might say, oh, well, that's just, you know, that's just for cattle. You know, I'm going vegan. Yeah, well, You know, the disease bovine paraplasmosis, yeah, it goes for the cattle. But now it's morphed into, as far as an April 24, 2014 report, it's morphed into a human type of disease. They call it human babesiosis. So that same tick, if it can be infected onto us. That's drinking water and everything, that disease. It goes, spreads real fast. So these tick riders are faithful, and their love for the horse and their dedication to their job keeps those animals on check. We have to do the same thing, brother. We have to keep ourselves in check. We have to lift each other up. Our reward is great, brethren. We are qualified to be future kings and priests. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.